This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Because What's Bugging Micah gets results. Thank you, Joe Rowling, 41 of Scotland.
This is MuggleCast episode 56 for September 17th, 2006. See why GoDaddy.com is the number one domain registrar worldwide. Now with your domain name registration, you'll get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Plus, as a MuggleCast listener, enter code RON, that's R-O-N, when you check out, and get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com. Hello everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Bishan.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Jim Lawrence.
I'm Mike Tannenbaum.
We got a great show for you this week. Before we go anywhere else, Mike Tannenbaum, St. Mine, the MuggleCast News Center with the best except Harry Potter news stories.
Last week we reported that the Daily Mirror spoke to J.K. Rowling at a tea party in Edinburgh, celebrating the release of Driving Lessons. Regarding the progress of Book 7, the UK tabloid quoted Joe as saying, "I'm up to 750 pages now." At the time, we told you it was highly unlikely Joe would give away how many pages she's written. Now we have confirmation in the form of an update to the rubbish bin at jkrowling.com. She said, "I haven't written 750 pages of Book 7, and if I had, I'd be very worried as I'm not close to finishing it yet. I was at the tea party for Driving Lessons, though, so this isn't pure fiction. The journalist reports that I said that Rupert is absolutely terrific in the film. He is, so that bit shouldn't be in the rubbish bin at all." Speaking of updates, clearly thanks to my rant on last week's show, J.K. Rowling has added a new diary, news, and extra stuff entry to her official site. In her diary, she apologizes for the lack of updates recently and talks about her experience in New York for an evening with Harry, Kerry, and Garth. Also, an NAQ never asked question was added to the extra stuff section. Why did Dumbledore have James's invisibility cloak at the time of James's death, given that Dumbledore can make himself invisible without a cloak? We discuss that later in the show. The National Library of Scotland has obtained a $3.35 million grant in order to establish a digital repository to include blogs, journals, and emails written by leading Scots, J.K. Rowling among them. The digital works exhibited will all be of cultural significance and are set to be unveiled in 2008. The Harry Potter box set containing Quidditch Through the Ages and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, published in support of Comic Relief, now has a brand new cover. And finally, Bloomsbury will re-release 21 books to celebrate their 21st birthday, including Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. According to Publishing News, all the titles will feature a short question and answer with the authors, an introduction by fellow writers, and a reading guide. No word yet on what Joe may include. That's all the news for this September 17th, 2006 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
Okay. Thank you, Micah.
Oh, I'm here this week, sorry.
Yeah, you are here.
So you're welcome. You're welcome.
Micah, we are so proud of you this week. I speak for the Harry Potter
Yay!
Community when I say we are so proud of you this week.
What I do.
But we'll get to that
I think
in a minute.
We're proud and excited, to be fair.
We are.
Yeah, yeah, excited as well.
I'd agree. Let's have a few announcements first. Do not forget, vote for us on Podcast Alley. And PO Box update, Ben.
You got PO Box gosh. Oh, geez. We have more letters than you can imagine. Thanks to, who is this here? Thanks to Harley Hoover from Peninsula, Ohio, for sending us pickles, paper pickles with each of our names on them. That's very, very kind of you.
Thank you.
We got some letters here from
Alexis. Wait a second.
What?
Pickle. All right, okay. Go ahead.
We have letters here from Alexis, from Liz Joffe. This person, I don't know. They're from Oklahoma, but that's all I know about them. Miss Ronak Chaduri for sending me a Subway gift card. Thanks to Claire Fuller for sending in a letter. Someone else made pickle hats for us.
Are you going to bring all this pickle stuff?
No, memorabilia, merchandise?
Yeah,
right.
okay.
Thanks to Leslie McGee for sending in us a CD, I think this is. Yeah, CD. Then the pickle hats came from Jordana. From Illinois.
Ooh.
Like, these are hats like you wear on your head. Like, they're paper hats. They're kind of neat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then another letter came from Alex from New Hampshire. So, yeah, there's a PO box
to California. Then, really, you bring
huh? The pickle
you
hat.
Bring
do you really want your
yeah,
pickle hat?
Of course, yes. I want my pickle hat.
I guess.
Leaky Mug live in California, September 28th. It's going to be a fabulous
a blast. It's going to be a blast.
A big event. Don't forget to RSVP on leakymug.com. We got about 300.
What's RSVP? Sorry, what does RSVP stand for?
Répondez, s'il vous plaît.
Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Not bad, Ben. You get 8 out of 10 for effort.
We have like 300 to 400 RSVPs already, so it's going to be a big event. And make sure you get there early because Borders is limiting it to 400 people, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and also join the Facebook event group because cool people
just
do
for
that.
The fun of it. Just for the fun.
Yeah. Listener rebuttals this week. Jessica 23 from Ohio has a rebuttal about Give Me a Butterbeer from episode 55.
Oh, she wants to have a go, does she?
A comment was made, I'm not sure by who, about how the Harry Potter books do not convert their readers to Wicca. While I completely agree that Harry Potter does not encourage people to alter their religious beliefs in any way, I felt compelled to point out that HP does not relate to Wicca in any way. While it's true that followers of Wicca are sometimes referred to as witches, Wicca is a valid religion that has absolutely nothing to do with things like flying broomsticks and magic wands. Just wanted to make that distinction. Love your show. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, it's important it's true, to say that Wicca is not an evil religion at all.
Yeah, but when, I mean, I can't really remember it, but weren't you just pointing out that it's a religion, and you should really separate Harry Potter and religion completely, because, you know, once you start mixing them, you just get into all the stuff about, you know, evil and stuff like that. It's just like, I just think it should be just kept completely separate. You know, it's a book series.
Well, yeah.
Faux show. Religion.
Faux show, man. But just check on Wikipedia and type in Harry Potter. Okay, our second one is from Elena, who is 16 from East LA. Hope you'll be coming to the podcast. And the subject is Dumbledore and Voldemort's power. Regarding your discussion about if Dumbledore and Voldemort are just generally more powerful than the rest of the... And I can't read it because my AIM has just popped up. Somebody has signed off. are just generally more powerful than the rest of the world and why that is. Isn't it possible that they are just equivalent to what geniuses are in the Muggle world, but with their magical ability? Like, there are some people who are just regular, some who are smart, and some who are super intelligent or geniuses. The same can go for the magical world. Though people can't be more magical than others, they can possess different levels in talent in magic, as in the Muggle world with intelligence. And this talent possibly follows the same laws as intelligence does with the nature-nurture theories. Great show. Peace out. So, I guess she's kind of saying that Voldemort and Dumbledore are the Einsteins of the magical world, or the Leonardo da Vinci's or something.
Definitely.
I think that's pretty true.
Erica, 24 of Chicago, writes about Harry Potter and the Star Wars connection that Jamie brought up last week. Jamie only mentioned this briefly, but I think it was genius to make a connection between the levels of power in HP characters and the main players in Star Wars.
That's not a Muggle-led or anything. He thought of that all by himself.
Sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, Ben. Okay, I don't think I did. I did think of that myself. I didn't get it off the site.
Dumbledore is the equivalent of Obi-Wan Kenobi, a learned master, a combination of great skill and experience and age. I'd pick him versus Yoda because Vader was an Obi-Wan's student. Voldemort is the equivalent of Darth Vader, an orphaned child prodigy with exceptional natural ability turned, quote, less than human evil lord, who passes on some of his power to the one who will have to defeat him. Harry's definitely the Luke Skywalker. He inherited some exceptional abilities by being marked by Voldemort. So, if we follow the pattern in Harry Potter, the masters of the Force, whether good or evil, are light years away ahead of the rest of the Jedi in their ability. Luke never became a Jedi Master, and he was able to defeat Vader in the same way that Harry, while he is more skilled or powerful than average wizards his age, does not have to become as powerful as Voldemort to defeat him. He only has to skillfully use what he knows. And even though there are some similarities, please don't think I would ever suggest that Voldemort and Harry will share a Luke, I am your father moment, but maybe that would be a crackpot theory.
Yeah, next week's one for Eric. But, like, it could be like, you know, as she says, it's just one thing that Harry's got to tap into, like love. You know, I mean, it could be that love isn't especially powerful, but it's just the one thing that Voldemort can't stand, and that one thing is, you know, his weakness, and he just has to tap into that power or something and use that against him. This is from Carolyn, 19, from Connecticut. In episode 55, you were discussing Dumbledore and Voldemort's magical powers. You mentioned that you thought that Dumbledore cast the Fidelius Charm on the Potters because it is described as immensely complex magic. However, we knew that Dumbledore gave evidence that Sirius was the Potter's secret keeper, and if Dumbledore was the one that cast the charm, wouldn't he know that Wormtail was the secret keeper? Love the show, Carolyn.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah, she's right.
We got rebuttals. We got a lot of rebuttals like that.
So
it's more of a correction.
To sum things up, we were wrong. Sorry,
good
I
job,
was wrong.
Guys.
You were wrong.
I was wrong, yeah. Oh, come on. Please can I spread the blame around slightly?
I wasn't we were wrong. You can't blame me.
You were still
wrong,
Laura.
Either, so I think
hey, both of you were wrong.
It was
wrong,
just me, Ben, and Eric.
No, I wasn't.
Or no, me, Jamie, and Eric. Yeah.
Let's blame Eric, because he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Eric,
I like that.
Okay. It was clearly that Sirius was the Potter's secret keeper. I mean, it was... Okay, I screwed up again. Whatever Carolyn says.
Okay, well, that wraps up listener rebuttals.
Sweet Caroline. Sorry.
Well, last week on episode 55, we premiered a brand new segment, What's Bugging Micah? And coincidentally, Micah, this is pure coincidence, J.K. Rowling on Wednesday, September 13th, updated her website with lots of updates. Just a mere 4 days after What's Bugging Micah premiered, where Micah flipped out on J.K. Rowling for not updating her website.
And you think this is a coincidence, Andrew?
I'm just kidding. I just didn't want to be modest. No, I just wanted to be modest.
Yeah.
Micah, what know. Do you so, think about this?
It was,
are you
it was
convinced?
Long, it was long due. It was yeah, due. It, so, it, I don't know.
Let's just pretend like it was Micah and that Joe does listen to the show.
Well, here, we have a little test here. Let's have Micah...
Ask for a million
gripe about the title and see if it...
Yeah. Good, Micah, go for it.
What do you want me to do?
Just say...
Say, Micah... I mean, say, Joe
she never gives
give
to
us
her.
The title.
Yeah,
do
yeah.
It. Do
and
it.
She gives it in the next couple of days.
Okay.
That'll be a pretty big
Joe.
Coincidence.
Here, wait. Hold on, wait.
You've got to make
now
it from
the Now it's
time
heart, for the
though.
Second installment of What's Bugging Micah. Micah, go.
Micah, mean it from
There's
the heart.
Nothing bugging me right now, though, but...
No, this is bugging you.
Yeah,
you told me about it earlier. Go ahead.
Joe, you must reveal the title of Book 7 by Halloween.
Okay.
You heard it here.
Did that come from the heart, Micah, or are you just...
Well, it was funny, though, on the news post we made on MuggleNet.com, if you look through the comments, a lot of people say...
Yeah, they all
like
thought
this
it was
one.
My
yeah.
doing.
Hey, Micah, that rant of yours worked. It was pretty funny. Another one says, finally, she must have listened to MuggleCast. So, coincidence... Probably really good timing, yes. However...
Yeah, come on. Very
however,
good timing, though. Very good
however,
timing.
Of course Joe listens. This is, you know, this is her thing. She wants to hear us discuss.
Didn't she tell us that when she goes jogging in the morning, she...
With her iPod
plugs in her iPod in, yeah, and just turns the show on.
Actually, guys, I think that she actually dropped us a hint on her site.
What'd you do?
Where?
Yeah. If you you go on, you know, JKRowling.com, you look at her diary, she says sorry 5 times. How many letters are in Micah's first name?
Five.
2, 3.
How many times did she say sorry?
Five,
huh? See the connection? Yeah. God. Okay.
We've been doing this way too long, Andrew.
She dropped a hint.
That is
there
a pretty big hint. It's a pretty
it is. I tried finding other ones, but I couldn't. That was the best one. So anyway, that was very good. And a lot of people liked that segment last week, Micah, so
they did.
Should we change it?
What's Bugging Micah gets results.
Should we change the Chuck Norris Dumbledore quotes to Micah quotes now? Because he's pretty...
yeah, he's pretty powerful. So anyway, this leads us into our main discussion this week, which is about an update that Joe made on her site. Jamie?
Okay, this is taken straight from her site. Why did Dumbledore have James's invisibility cloak at the time of James's death? Given that Dumbledore could make himself invisible anyway, does he really need it? Prior to posting this, I had a quick look online and realized that some fans have been speculating about this question. That's Joe, by the way, not me. However, nobody has ever asked me about it, and they really should have done. Just to allay the fears of the justifiably suspicious, this isn't what we in the know call a Mark Evans situation, as in that it's, you know, we think it's massive, but it's not. There is a significant, even crucial, answer to this question. So, our main discussion this week is, why did Dumbledore have James's invisibility cloak on him at the time of James's death? go.
Oh, geez, this is nothing but pure conjecture.
Our questions for this, our first one is, number one, is this simply that Dumbledore couldn't make himself invisible at this time? Some people forget that Dumbledore was not ridiculously powerful from birth, although it seems like he has always been one step ahead, e.g. when Professor Tofty said that during his Newt examinations he could do things with a wand that, you know, nobody had ever seen before. Magical abilities are clearly a product of age and experience.
Oh,
what's so funny about that?
So gross. You guys
grow
are
up.
So perverted.
Grow up.
So,
immature.
Do you think that's the case?
I don't think so, because this was only 12, 13, however many years it was prior. And it's not like Dumbledore developed all his skills in that, not 12, 13, 15, 16 years.
How do you know, Andrew? How do you know?
Because he was the headmaster of Hogwarts.
How do you know, Andrew?
Because he was there after Harry died, and...
Harry didn't die.
I mean... oh, really? Oh, shoot.
Digging a grave here, Andrew. It's getting bigger.
I mean, James and Lily died. James and Lily died.
I guess so. You're still wrong.
No,
I think that Dumbledore was probably able to become invisible on his own. I don't think he would have...
I'm just going to ask...
Yeah, okay, J.K. Rowling said it's significant. What significance would that hold? Just that he didn't know how to become invisible on his own then?
Yeah, I don't think that would hold any great key to the series.
So we've established Andrew's wrong, once again, but anybody have any bright ideas?
No, I think we just established that Andrew was right.
I'm just saying Dumbledore didn't develop all his skills after Harry's birth. He had them before.
Yeah, so he...
He's an old guy.
How do you know that? Okay, he is an old guy, but he...
I don't know that, but he was the headmaster of Hogwarts.
But he could have read...
Well, that doesn't
book,
really...
You know, becoming invisible without a cloak just in those 15 years. You don't know that he learned...
Yeah,
that,
but
you know.
Didn't Dumbledore tell Harry whenever he was looking into the mirror of Erised that I have my own ways of becoming invisible?
Yeah, but that's after. That's a long way after...
Yeah, but... It just seems like the way he talks about it, he's been doing it for a while and that he's accomplished at it.
So he has his own ways of becoming invisible. He puts the cloak on, that's his way of becoming invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sews it into his skin and he can turn it on and off by, you know, just thinking it or something. Let's go on to our second question. Did James purposely give the cloak to Dumbledore? Perhaps he knew that Dumbledore would give it to Harry or that his death was imminent. Ben, what do you think?
I think, of course, James intentionally gave it to Dumbledore. I don't think Dumbledore would steal it from him. So,
well, I didn't mean that. I meant he, like, you know, if he found it after his death or something.
Well, then the note that Dumbledore left to Harry, he said that your father left this with me shortly before he died, right? Isn't that what
he
said?
That is very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why he would give it to Dumbledore.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I think the consensus we came to on that episode was that he... left
we
it with Dumbledore for...
Well,
we sometimes we do. Rarely we do. And in this case, we decided that that James left the cloak with Dumbledore because he knew that Dumbledore would give it to Harry. But it seems like there's got to be something a little more prominent going on there, seeing as it's a crucial clue.
Yeah.
Or a bit of information.
Well, look, let's go on to the third question, which is kind of redundant now. If he didn't purposely give it to him, where was the cloak after the death of the Potters?
With Dumbledore, because he said he
left
it to him.
Okay, fair enough. Question four. Did Dumbledore go to Godric's Hollow and get the cloak?
Well, it all depends on whether James gave it to Dumbledore before or after the Fidelius Charm was performed, because obviously Dumbledore didn't do it. So,
but how far...
Well, if Dumbledore didn't perform the charm and he wasn't the secret keeper, he couldn't find the Potters, so James would have had to have given it to him prior to going into hiding.
That is true. But how long before they died was the charm performed? Do we know?
Well, no. Only a couple of weeks. They said that within 2 weeks of it being performed, Voldemort found him and killed him. But, obviously we know it had to have been sometime in that year that Harry was born, because he was only a year old whenever Voldemort attacked them, so it couldn't have been that far in advance.
Do you think he gave it to him with, like, all of his other possessions? Or do you think he sort of sat him down and said, I'm giving you this cloak because, you know, because it's special and... you need to do something specific with it. I don't think
he intended for him to leave it to Harry, because I don't think that would have been his intentions.
Well, because Dumbledore just said it is time that it is returned to you, didn't he? He didn't specifically say your father gave this to me to leave to you.
Right, because why would James predict that if they were going to be killed, that his son would make it through? That's the thing.
Because no parent wants to imagine that their child's going to die. They're going to want to leave options just in case their kid lives.
He brings up a fair point that...
Yeah, but do you know any parent that's going to say, well, you're absolutely going to die, so there's no point in making plans for you because you're going to be dead.
Well, they're not necessarily making plans. I mean,
why would James give it over in the first place? Why does he have to assume that he's going to be the one dying?
No, but the odds there, he think if Voldemort... He didn't realize that Lily's love was in place, so he thought that if Voldemort can kill me, who, you know, is clearly a pretty advanced wizard, he isn't going to have any trouble with a small baby boy. So perhaps he gave it to him for, you know, maybe it is a Horcrux, Ben.
Well, why... Okay, if we think about it, what I'm trying to say is perhaps James gave Dumbledore the cloak for a reason other than to give to Harry for his own personal
use. He probably
usage.
Did. No, of course he did, because he couldn't have envisaged that Harry was going to live. Even though in his soul, in his heart, he must have absolutely begged him to live. He had to think about, you know...
Of course, I mean, who wants their kid to die?
Yeah, or perhaps he gave it to Dumbledore to cover Harry.
With him? With the cloak?
Yeah, and take him somewhere or something. Because, you know... I doubt
that's enormously significant in the book 7.
Huh?
That's enormously significant in the book 7.
I'd laugh if it was, Ben, because I would not ever let you live that down.
I just don't see how the cloak could... Unless there's something more to the cloak, and no, don't say Horcrux.
Well, can he use the cloak to go through the veil?
No!
I don't think so.
Why would the cloak do to...
I don't know, I'm just throwing out a crazy theory.
Because the veil wouldn't think that anyone was there.
Perhaps there are some properties to the invisibility cloak that we don't know about. Perhaps, like, what we're trying to say is... It does more than make you invisible. Like, there's something else that it does for you.
Like what?
Well, we know that they're really rare. So there's got to be something...
I'll give you 10 points if you can tell me which creature you can spin hair from to turn into invisibility cloaks. Begins with a D.
Demiguys?
Very good. Very good.
Yay.
You get 10 points. It's pointless, really. What can you do with 10 points?
It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Beat Leaky in a trivia contest.
Okay, well, now I want to look this animal up and see if there's any special... Like, you would think that if there is going to be some amazing revelation about the invisibility cloak, there would have been some foreshadowing in the books already. Like,
well,
Harry noticed that when he wore the cloak,
he could...
Spell deflected off of him.
I know, but she's not going to do that. She's going to make subtle things. She's going to make subtle insinuations.
I know, it would be in passing.
Yeah, like, do you remember the way that it was described? Like, it felt light as air, yet when it, flowed over his fingers, it felt like water. He said it felt like liquid air. So clearly there's something just really bizarre about this thing, because it's not just fabric.
Well, it makes you invisible. That's pretty bizarre already.
Yeah. And she just, the way she described it kind of played it up to be something even more special.
Yeah, I think it is more special, but...
Well, that was sort of, that was getting somewhere, it seemed like. What if Harry, or what if James had given it to Dumbledore for Dumbledore to give it to an Order member? Because maybe James would have thought that an Order member had a more important use for it.
That isn't a very sort of crucial answer, though. That's pretty general.
But why wouldn't James give it to that Order member, then?
Because an Order member might have needed had a better reason to use it than James did.
And maybe, I'm saying if
Dumbledore
James wanted to give it
to
an Order member, why wouldn't James have just given it
because
to him?
Because maybe, depending on the situation, who knows what was going on then with the Order when all that was happening? They could have been all spread out across all of England or whatever, and... maybe James just couldn't directly deliver it to him, and Dumbledore was going
to
see him for
they
coffee.
They have magic.
No, but
they have elves.
What I think we're missing here is that,
though,
is that he that the I think the reason why James gave it to Dumbledore is a thing that's significant.
Yeah.
Not that what the cloak's
used for.
Oh
yeah, definitely.
For,
yeah.
You know.
Well, no, it could. Yeah, but it could be like he gave it.
But
to
I know,
him
but I'm not saying that we should expect. Oh. In book 7, Ginny's going to get alive using the invisibility cloak.
How rare are they? Because he could have just given it to him because it's, you know, it's a rare thing. He's got to, you know, it's something valuable which is clearly going to come in useful at some point.
Seems strange. Didn't Moody have two of them?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But then he had all sorts of dark arts. things that
just
no one else had.
Them for the...
What could be a possibility that the invisibility cloak is that particular one is enchanted somehow? Because even though they're rare, I don't think they all share the same properties.
It's a two-way invisibility cloak. He can use it to talk to James from beyond the grave.
Is it possible? We know that wands have different powers depending on what kind of animal their magical core came from. So say the demiguise that Harry's cloak was woven from had some sort of weird power. Wouldn't that make it more unique than the others?
Yeah. I think she just likes messing around with us. That's what I think. She put this out there. If you think about it, what did she really tell us on the site? See, now you're going to get me angry again. She didn't do anything of significance. Nothing of that site was of any significance.
Yes, because she wants us to speculate about it. She's trying to bring attention
She's
to it.
She's got
to
keep the fandom going. She realizes this book has taken a while.
Yeah, because Harry Potter's dying, isn't
it? Is.
It? And, she's gotta
no, I'm saying...
It.
I'm
I, bet
saying...
She's, I bet she doesn't have enough money, so she needs...
No, what I'm saying is she likes to see the community active like this, so she throws this stuff out there every once in a while to get everyone going and get everyone excited.
Watch, it was just a birthday present. That's all it's going to turn out to be.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, the most significant birthday
significant?
Present. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. She says it's not another Mark Evans situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, where do you think James got the cloak from in the first place? Do you think it was a family heirloom, or...
Wasn't it? Or do we know? I've read too much fan fiction.
So.
I've confused the heck out of myself.
I think a lot of people have assumed that it's a family heirloom, but I'm not sure that it was ever specified that it was.
I don't think you just go and buy them, can you, though? Can you just go and buy them?
Well, yeah, that's why would make sense that it was something passed down through the family.
Yeah,
but...
well, exactly, but are they rare in that you see them in shops, but they're, you know,
I don't think we've ever
very expensive. Or
I don't think we've ever seen one in a shop. And you would think that if you could get one, you could get it in like Nocturne Alley. But I don't think we've ever seen one there.
Well, of course, they have to be very expensive, or otherwise everyone would have them.
No, because they could be rare, as in,
you can't even buy them.
Some type of
animal.
Yeah, you could buy them.
But guys, if they're going to be rare, then they would be very expensive.
No, because
to acquire one,
because they could command high prices, but you just can't buy them.
What if it's something that you have to get because of something you do? Like, for instance, Moody has it because he's an Auror, or he was an Auror. What if, I mean, we don't know much about Lily's and James's occupations. I've always kind of wondered what Lily's was because Joe said that James didn't really need to have any kind of high-paying job because he had plenty of gold. So I was always under the assumption that Lily did something a little more important, and maybe it was hers. Well, what do you guys think it was that, assuming that invisibility cloaks are given out because of an important job, do you think that maybe Lily did something important within the ministry? Like, maybe she was an unspeakable in the Department of Mysteries?
Who, Lily? Ooh.
Yeah.
A bode or a croaker? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But how would she have inherited the cloak? Like, you were saying that she had a more respectable job than James did.
Well, I'm saying
what did James
the only people we've ever seen in... Well, I think the only other person we've seen in the books who has a cloak is Moody, and he's an Auror, so isn't it pretty safe to assume that you only get those cloaks based on some kind of important occupation?
Mm. Yeah, no, I think it's based on need, though, more than how important your job is. You know, like...
Well, obviously, if you're doing something like...
And stuff.
Like, if you're an Auror or if you're an Unspeakable, you're obviously going to need forms of protection.
Yeah,
an invisibility cloak could offer some form of protection.
That is
so
true.
But then it got in James's hands. How? Lily just handed it over to him? Wouldn't she want to keep that for herself as sort of like a...
Well, no, because once Voldemort's after you, you're screwed. It doesn't matter. I mean...
But you would still want to keep it.
Yeah, but what if there was some greater cause as to why Dumbledore needed it? That's the thing. I think that Lily would sacrifice that.
I'm just looking at the way that she worded the question, because she never words things the wrong way. And she says, at the time of James's death, she doesn't bring up Lily. She specifically refers to James. And I don't know. It's almost like she's saying, why did he have it at that exact moment? So you almost think that he was there when it happened.
Whoa, Micah Tannenbaum, I love you. But seriously, though, it's important that... Oh, okay, at the time of James' death, wouldn't she say the Potter's death? You know what I'm saying?
That's usually what it's referred to as.
I don't think Lily's alive, if that's what you're trying to say.
No. I'm not.
Well, you think it'd be possible that Dumbledore was in Godric's Hollow that night?
I've been kind of wondering about that.
No, but would he stand idly by and watch him be killed, though?
I don't know.
He's holding the invisibility cloak in one hand, like, with a weird expression on his face. Oops.
Well, hey, there's still something about that odd twinkle to Dumbledore's eye at the end of Goblet of Fire when he found out that Voldemort had Harry's blood. What if he's evil?
No.
Where's Rachel?
What if he was evil?
No, but also the other thing that kind of debunks the Lily idea is that she refers to it as James's invisibility cloak.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, that's too. And if it was Lily's invisibility cloak, why would James give it to Dumbledore, you know?
Well, he could have told him to give it.
Told him to give it.
Do you want to...
I know, but if it's something that's her personal possession...
So he was whipped, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Everything that Lily told him to do.
Just like I think Harry's whipped by Ginny, so...
Oh, yeah, he is. She sorts him out.
Do you want to read a theory off of COS forums? Maybe get this going a little bit more? This goes a little deeper, further than what we've been saying. But this was posted on COS forums by Eli C. A first year. He quotes Sorcerer's Stone, "Your father left this in my possession before he died. It is time it was returned to you. Use it well. A very Merry Christmas to you." And Eli says, "The cloak was probably left unintentionally with Dumbledore by James. I say this because Dumbledore did not say, quote, 'He gave this to me to use,' end quote, for whatever purpose. Instead, James mistakenly left it, thus the 'left this in my possession.' We can theorize that Dumbledore did not have it intentionally, and there is a strong possibility that the cloak was being used by a member of the Order. My thought is that it was James. Keep reading for more on this. Dumbledore only had it in his possession for a short time when the Potters were killed. Otherwise, such an important object of protection would have been returned quickly, especially if they were in danger. Remember that although Dumbledore is at school with Harry, Dumbledore asked Harry to keep the cloak with him at all times."
Oh, yes. But if that's
how
the
do
case,
you
then...
forget an invisibility
cloak? Hold on, there's more. "I think James was secretly tailing Snape under the cloak the night Snape heard the prophecy, followed Snape, overheard the conversation between Snape and Lord Voldemort in which Voldemort chooses Harry as the one. Snape, realizing what he's done, turns to Dumbledore, and at some point James reveals himself either while Snape is with Dumbledore or right after he leaves. Remember that Snape knows that Harry and James's cloaks are one and the same. So it is probable that James revealed himself while Snape was with Dumbledore in conversation. During this conversation, or possibly heated discussion, James sits down the cloak on a chair, discusses things with Dumbledore, and Snape rushes off to Godric's Hollow and his family to keep safe. Dumbledore finds Sirius to be a secret keeper, but then they choose Wormtail, cast a secret keeper charm, and the next day or so, James and Lily are killed. Snape did not know who the secret keeper for the Potters was, and therefore did not know that they would be killed. Besides, Death Eaters do not know each other per se." See book 4, I believe. There's more, but...
Don't you think that if he could do that, I mean, if I had to be invisible, I'd want a way that Dumbledore chooses rather than a cloak, because it's quite a crude way of remaining invisible. You know, if there's a strong wind and it flaps up the bottom, right, then you're going to see your feet. Or if it just, it just seems it is very crude. Or if you trip over and it flies
or
off.
Or footsteps. You
know.
You can hear footsteps, too. It's not
exactly.
Yeah.
It's not the safest.
Yeah, but yeah. It just seems very crude. That's an interesting theory, though.
Well, hold on. Do you think that it's a case that Dumbledore needed to use the invisibility cloak?
No.
Because perhaps... Never mind.
No, say it, Ben.
Well, as I say, maybe Dumbledore's invisibility, like, that he can do by himself... Never mind.
Just say it. My theory is safe.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that the invisibility cloak has to have something special about it for Dumbledore to use it over his own invisibility. There.
Yeah.
Thank me, Captain Obvious.
Well, if you're wondering why there's a lack of more discussion, that's because we're recording this on the same day that the news broke. So we were a little tight for time and planning more of a thought-out discussion.
We're also quite tired.
We are quite tired. It's 9:21 here on the East Coast.
Ugh. Oh, well, you know.
It's 9:13. You're so full.
It's 9:22, Laura. My Mac is synced with the U.S. government time zones. It can't be wrong. 9:13.
Yeah.
Is everyone slow in Georgia? Yeah.
Yes. Actually. It's funny that you should ask.
But if you have your own theories, feel free to send them in, and we'll probably discuss this more next week on... Oh, but shoot, we're recording early. Listen to this show on Sunday. Get them in by Sunday night. We're recording episode 57 much earlier next week. Get your theories in. I'm sure there will be some waiting in the MuggleCast email box, and we'll talk about it more on next week's listener rebuttals. Anyway, moving on. Just in time, right after Jamie says he's tired, it's time for Dumbledore and Chuck Norris facts.
The book Lord of the Rings was revived from its original. The first one had Frodo taking the One Ring to Dumbledore so he could destroy it.
Hey, Jamie, as a matter of fact, someone actually sent in a letter.
Yeah?
Like a letter that had some Dumbledore quotes on it.
Oh, nice.
Next.
Dumbledore once used an engorgement charm on a small hill. That hill is now known as the Himalayan Mountain. Dumbledore performed the Agumenti charm only once. The result left 70% of the earth covered in water. Okay. I was going to say, these are thanks to BD27 from Alabama. Okay, a basilisk is born of a chicken's egg hatched beneath a toad, but Dumbledore was born of a dragon's egg hatched beneath a hippogriff. That's a kind of, you know. That'll do for today, okay. Andrew,
that's
that'll do for
plenty.
Today.
Now it's time for this week's voicemails. Here's the first one from Amanda.
Hi, this is Amanda from Wisconsin. I just wanted to say I love you guys' show, and I have a question. When you guys were talking about on your last episode that if Hogwarts was to close, they could be homeschooled, how would the students who are Muggleborns be taught because their parents, you know, don't do magic? So just wanted to see what you guys thought. So thanks, and I love you guys' show. Bye.
Laura, you're a homeschooling expert. Tell us. Because you always stand by the, and I'm not trying to insult it or anything, I'm just saying you always stand by the...
I think it's also important to point out that I was forced to argue that point by the person who came up with this segment. Thank you, Ben. And
What segment is it?
So are you admitting that you have a substandard education, Laura?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you can't really compare a Muggle education to a wizarding education because any parent can teach you maths. However, any parent can't teach you wizarding. There would have to be some sort of...
No, any parent can't teach you calculus. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying any
parent... My mom couldn't teach me basic addition.
Ben, I'm saying that any person can study mathematics because it's a universal thing. Not any person can... Yes, you can, Jamie.
No, you can't. You cannot study.
No, you.
Once you get to advanced levels, you can't.
No,
you can't. You have to have some instruction.
No, you can study it.
In books.
It doesn't mean you have to be a genius at it.
Okay, that's like saying you can read a book on how to fly a plane and you'll know how to fly a plane.
No, it's not. It's not.
No,
it's completely different.
It's the same thing. Okay.
No, it's not.
You can't teach yourself calculus.
Some people can.
Okay, Laura.
Someone had to invent calculus, Ben.
Yeah.
That's a silly statement.
Shut up, Andrew.
No, what I think what Laura's saying is magic is completely different because there's a wand involved and there's a certain way you have to flick the wand and there's a certain, you know, you gotta concentrate.
But there's still the same, you have to go through another process. You have to go through a process with math, too.
The thing is, though, that everyone can study math. Not everyone can study wizardry. So there is a difference between Muggle studies.
Okay, everyone can... No. We're going to become the same playing field. Every wizard can study potions.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but not...
Yes. Subjects.
Yes, but we're not talking about homeschooling kids who have wizarding parents. We're talking about homeschooling kids who have Muggle parents. What
they
I'm
can
saying
still do
is,
it, though. If they've got the magical ability, they can do it. They can do it. They can teach themselves out of a book.
Sure, some people can read stuff, but not everyone is adept at teaching themselves. That's true. They're not. And so you would have to come up with some kind of system where you sent tutors. There are actually some homeschooling systems where kids go to pick up their work two or three times a week, and they meet with teachers and tutors, and they do their lessons, they bring it home, they do their work at home, and then they take it back for grading.
Okay, if you were a Muggle parent, would you want to... No, I'm just curious. Would you want to send your... Send your kid into a wizarding household where they're likely to be killed?
If you're a Muggle parent, would you want to send your child to a wizarding school where they're likely to be killed?
Yeah,
snap,
yeah.
Snap, Ben.
No, I'm saying it defeats
it's
the whole purpose.
Same thing.
No, I'm saying it defeats the whole purpose of not sending him to Hogwarts.
If you're going to send him
somewhere else to be homeschooled.
You don't have to send them to live with that person. They can use the flu network to get to and from every day.
Coming back to the voicemail, do your parents teach you? Or do you do it all yourself?
Okay, I do it by myself.
Well, that means that a student who is Muggle-born, sorry, a wizard who is Muggle-born could do it too.
No, they can't.
Sure, some
because
of them. No, some of them can.
Of course they can, Ben.
How did you learn the count to 100? Did you just one day wake up and say 1, 2, 3, 4?
But that's primary. That's kindergarten. That's kindergarten.
No, that's very different, Ben.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You have to have someone has to help you establish the base in order for you to be able to build upon it. I mean, if you don't have any base to build upon, then you're not going to be able to enhance your education.
The point is, though, Ben, people learn those things at primary school, whereas stuff like magic, you know, it's like we see in Hogwarts. It's you can't be taught how to hold your wand and wave it so something happens. You have to learn it from, you know, you've got to learn it yourself. It's like juggling. It's just practice that does it. You know,
yes.
You can't, somebody can't say to you, chuck one into the air, then move it across a bit, and then chuck the other one into the air, then catch it, then do this. You have to learn.
Yes, they
it.
Do. That's exactly what they do.
Yes, but it's trial and error, Ben.
I know, but you have to have someone give you a push in the right direction. If you're a Muggle-born, like swish and flick. Look, Flitwick spends a lot of time teaching them just how to flick their wands the right way. You're not going to be able to figure, imagine how long it's going to take you to figure that out on your own. I'm just saying.
You will. It's written down. If it's written down, you can.
Are you saying that because kids are homeschooled, they can't have teachers? Because that's not true. I have teachers. I can contact them via email. So there's no reason that if a student was having trouble, they couldn't write to their teacher. They couldn't write to the person who wrote their course material.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I'm tired of being right, guys.
No, okay. I think that you can learn math to a point, and that point might be pre-cal.
I could not
calculus.
Do Kevin's
right,
math,
right.
man.
Same
it depends,
thing.
It
you
depends
can,
on
hold
your
on,
abilities.
Hold, yeah. You can learn magic to a point, but that point is basic, very basic magic.
The thing is,
because there comes a point in learning, going through your Hogwarts career that you're, or just your learning magical career that you will absolutely need a teacher.
There is the thing that some students can teach themselves independently all the time. Some students can't. And that is why if there wasn't a kind of homeschooling program, I honestly, despite the debate last week, I don't find it feasible that Hogwarts would close down. I don't find it feasible that students would homeschool. I'm saying that it's not an impossibility. I'm saying that people could do it if there was some kind of conflict that made that would allow for homeschooling to go on because it wouldn't be safe to be at Hogwarts. It would have to be an alternative that people would take.
I just think that it's obvious that they can do it, though, because if you think Dumbledore and Voldemort couldn't have been taught what they've learned mm-hmm. over and above, you know, the basic stuff, they had to learn it themselves by trial and error, and it's only
there
by trial and error
there was
that you
no
can do
school
it.
And people
well, exactly.
had to have educated themselves on magic.
Okay, well, there you go. This discussion could really go on forever.
Hey, MuggleCast, this is Alexia from Seattle, and I was just rereading Goblet of Fire, and I was at the part where Moody's doing the Imperius Curse, and Harry's good at resisting it, and he says, "Watch his eyes, that's where you see it. Very good, Potter, very good indeed." And I was just thinking, maybe that's the power that Lily's eyes have at. They're able to resist the Imperius Curse, because Lily fought Voldemort, you know, when he said, "Step aside," and he probably used the Imperius Curse on her. So I was just wondering what you thought. Thanks. Bye.
Well, yeah, that's why a lot of people thought that whole bit in Prisoner of Azkaban, the movie, was foreshadowing where...
About Lily's eyes.
Yeah, about how she could see people for what they really were.
Well, no, what I think the Imperius Curse has a lot to do with your ability to have control over your actions. I don't know if it has any... I don't know if the eyes are as significant as...
Yeah, but the eyes are the window to the soul, Ben.
No, but you can just see it in the eyes. It's just like a reflection of what's happening inside. I don't think your eyes... Like, have you guys seen Minority Report, the film?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when Tom Cruise, if he was good at withstanding the Imperius Curse before he had his eyes changed, he's still going to be good at it afterwards.
For anything in general.
Yeah, he's still going to be good at it afterwards. His eyes aren't actually going to make any difference. Amen.
Yeah. Michael, what do you think? Is there a connection... is there a link between the soul and the person's eyes? Do you think there's a little nerve that runs from the eye to your soul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Doctors have proved it, in fact.
No, what I think that, I mean, if you look in someone's eyes, you can get...
You can tell how
they're
feeling. I
don't know, if you ever just, like, sit there and stare, and someone's... Yeah, you can tell, like, their emotions, all those type of things. And, like, there's this girl at my school who, I tell her she has the eyes of Satan because she's so evil. Every day I see her, I tell her she's the devil child because...
Why?
I don't know, I just look into her eyes and, like, her pupils are, like, smaller than most people's. Like, they're tiny and black and...
Oh, well, that settles it. She's clearly
the devil.
The Antichrist, then, yeah. Well, Ben, if you told us that, we'd have completely agreed
with
you.
See, the devil, see, Mount Ridge High School has everything, Andrew. We have the smartest people, we have Satan, we have...
I see.
No, but you can tell everything about people, like, through their eyes. Not everything, but you know what I mean. Like, you can tell about, like, how sweet their eyes are and how compassionate they are, and that type of thing.
Did you try and chat that girl up, Ben, with that line? Hey,
Actually, I sang an Elton John song. Sang Elton John song, too.
Hey, by the way, you're supposed to announce the winner of that this week.
Actually, I did choose the winner.
Well, let's do it then. Micah, do you have to go now? Before we move on to our next voicemail?
Yeah.
Micah, where are you going? Yeah, what are you doing? You going to a Joe Rolling... Listen to me.
I actually have to go. I have to go speak to Joe and thank her for updating the site.
She's meeting Micah underneath the Brooklyn Bridge.
Say hi to her for us, Micah.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. See you, Micah.
Bye, Micah. All
right, guys.
Micah Tannenbaum, everyone. Get results. I know.
I didn't make fun of you yet. I was going to say, Micah has friends?
All right, Ben, wait 2 seconds to do it, and then you can say it.
Okay, sign off, ready? Micah, so I can talk crap on
you. I'm hanging up now. All right, go for it.
Okay, see you. Good.
Are you serious? Micah's social.
come on.
Next voicemail.
Hi, MuggleCasters. This is Kathleen calling from the Central Coast of Australia, where it's been tipping it down with rain for the past 3 days. I'm just calling with a question about Fawkes. What do you reckon his role will be in the 7th book? I've heard a lot of theories about, like, maybe he's Godric Gryffindor's pet, or and all the things connected with Voldemort and Harry's wand and things like that. So I'd be interested to hear what you think. Anyway, bye!
I think that Fawkes is going to peck Voldemort's eyes out, like he did the basilisk. And that's just going to be the end.
Yeah.
He clearly... But don't you think that the battle at the end of book five, in the Ministry, I thought showed two things specifically. That in a duel, Voldemort would defeat Dumbledore, because if Fawkes hadn't been there, that spell would have hit Dumbledore. Yeah?
Yeah.
And killed him. Mm-hmm. So, unless... You know, you can.
When did Fox save Dumbledore in the Ministry?
It's when he swallowed the Avada Kedavra spell, and then it created him again because he doesn't die. You know, so first of all, it showed that because of Dumbledore's advanced age and everything, Voldemort would defeat him.
But Jamie, if Voldemort can defeat Dumbledore, then I think your Dumbledore Norris comparisons are pretty much over.
No, because in terms of wizarding stuff, yes, but if...
Dumbledore in his prime would spank Voldemort.
Yeah, he'd...
Spank?
Anyway, and if Chuck... Lomp. If Chuck spank. Norris and Dumbledore went after Voldemort, he'd run and try and find all of his Horcruxes so he could die quickly and save some pain. Mm. So both of them together would be... Anyway, so the second thing that it proved, I thought, was that... how powerful Fawkes is. Because if he can, swallow sort of the most powerful spell, one of the most powerful spells, and just turn it into a baby again, even though, he normally dies and turns into a baby, but if he can just take that spell like it's absolutely nothing and just come back again, I think it proves how powerful he is. And he clearly is an extremely powerful bird, because, just like in the Chamber of Secrets when he dragged them all to the surface... And,
yeah, but
I
is
think
that anything?
Play a big role. I mean,
what about
do you
the Phoenix song?
Go to
do you guys
Harry's
have any idea
cut?
What the Phoenix song? We kept hearing it in book 6, didn't we?
It inspires courage in the hearts of the true, and inspires fear in the hearts of the bad-minded. Or maybe
that'll play a role again. Just because.
Well, he'll start singing and Voldemort will cry.
Voldemort will just crumble. Right,
and then he'll peck his eyes out, and then he'll.
But
bring
do you think he's now Harry's pet now?
Yeah, I think
because he clearly was extremely fond of Harry.
Yeah,
you know, like he stroked him and everything, and he, that would be awesome if he was Harry's pet.
I think it would make sense for Dumbledore to leave him to Harry.
Yeah. In his, will.
Does Dumbledore have a will?
Probably.
Well, if he's planning his death, I think he planned his death, yeah. So he certainly did have a will.
Yeah.
He wouldn't die unprepared.
Everyone send in the top 10 items on Dumbledore's will.
Yeah.
Seriously. Andrew and Steph, subject Dumbledore's will. And I'll read them and never do anything with them. So.
Apart from read them, which is pretty important, don't you?
Yeah. Read by me.
The ultimate thing.
The ultimate compliment.
What do you bet one of the things on that list is going to be pickles?
Yeah. I'm telling you, the pickle graze is picking up. That's all the voicemails we got for everyone this week. And we're almost on the show here. Quick dating service update. We got a lot of applicants, but they're too many, and it's so confusing. Everyone's all over the map with what they're asking for and stuff. Send a new dating service request. In the subject, put your name, city, and state.
And what you're looking for, guy or girl.
And age. All in the subject. All in the subject in that order that I just said.
When you say that people are all over the place with what they want, are you saying they should lower their expectations?
No. What I'm saying is, like, people are, like, asking for, like, different... it's just confusing, all the emails that I have. That's all I'm saying. It's not very organized. I'm having a hard time sorting
through. Isn't a real thing.
Huh?
It isn't a real thing.
This is for real. And I tried to get a couple
together. How many couples have got together?
Jamie.
They deserve
was Rome spot. Built in a day?
Yes, it was. No, it's a lie. Wasn't. Dumbledore and Chuck Norris banded together and built it in half a day.
We're serious about this dating service thing. There's a free dinner in it for you if you send in your emails and, you know, we find good matches. They have to live near each other, and I have to do background checks on these people. I can't hook people up with pedophiles. How would I feel?
Well, Andrew's dad has the government connection. He hooked us all up. Yeah. I remember that. He told us that.
Yeah. He really didn't, though. So,
right.
MuggleCast@staff.mugglenet.com, dating service, rewind to hear the order that I said in the subject line, because I'm too lazy to try to remember it. And that's that.
I'd like to announce the winner of the Candle in the Wind parody. Comes from Cameron Smith. And I'll post it on the website. I'll give you a little preview of the first verse here. Jamie, would you like to join me in song?
No.
Please. Goodbye, Dumbledore.
I didn't know it, Ben, sir.
Knew you at all. Skill to apparate. You will?
No. Just sing it.
While those around you crawled. You crawled into the ministry. And they whispered into Fudge's brain. They removed you from the Wizen gamut. Because they thought that you were insane. And it seems to me you live your life like a phoenix in the wind. Never knowing Snape would betray you when you let him in. And you probably should have killed Tom when he was just a kid. The phoenix burned out long before your legend ever did.
That was quite good.
Well, that's a beautiful rendition.
Andrew, so, I've just worked out why Ben did this competition. It was just so he could sing Elton John on the show.
Oh, an important note, episode 57 we're going to be recording earlier in the week, so it's going to be a little, the show might be a little different, probably not listener rebuttals, because this episode 57 is going to be the last show before California.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah.
Live, before our live podcast, and We're all moving around. I'm going to be in England with Jamie drinking tea.
Yep.
Ben's going to be in Notre Dame with Emerson drinking. Well, we'll leave your mind open to that. And
orange juice.
Anyway, contact information. Go for it.
PO Box 223, Mound Ridge, Kansas 67107.
You can also call us in the United States, dial 121-820 Magic, and in the United Kingdom, dial 02081440677, and if in Australia, dial 02833-5668. If you have a question that you want us to answer on the show, you have to call it in. We always get questions via email, but we can't answer them. We like the voicemails. This is a sound show. We don't like reading all the emails, so.
One more thing.
And also, hold on. Skype the username MuggleCast too. That's another way calling if you don't want to dial the number. Just add MuggleCast to your Skype list. keep your message under 30 seconds, listen to my awesome voicemail where I say pickle at the end.
And, are you kidding me? Did you actually edit
that? Email, feedback forum, MuggleCast. I didn't edit, I just recorded earlier today.
Another thing, happy birthday to my dear friend Savannah. She's a good Harry Potter fan. She listened to the show. I met her in Las Vegas. So yeah, happy birthday.
Here come all the birthday requests.
I know, but I had to do this one. The fudgesicle.
Fudgesicle?
It's just like pickle, dude. It's a new thing.
No. Ew, no.
Fudgesicle. No. Come on.
Okay, fudgesicle.
Fudgesicle.
Oh, no, pickle. No, that's so...
Yeah, that's going overboard.
Leave it in, though. We've got to leave that in.
Yeah, okay. Seriously, though, in California, we want to see everyone with their pickles and everyone with their, you know, MuggleCast merchandise and all that. So anyway, that wraps up the show. Once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Benching.
I'm Benching. Laura Thompson.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Wow, that was quick. Didn't even hear it.
I said it,
sorry, I forgot. There's also, don't forget our Frapper map. We love looking at pictures
no,
of you.
No, Andrew.
Seriously.
What's Andrew gonna
everyone go on a Frapper map.
What's Andrew going to say now, Ben?
Okay, fine.
Ben,
fine.
What's Andrew going to say now?
What's
Andrew going to say now? You're all a bunch of really good looking people, so, you know, dudes, send your photos.
You're an attractive bunch. I want to see your pictures. No, seriously, it's fun looking at that. Okay, that just sounds weird. So anyway, join our Facebook group, and we have a MuggleCast MySpace coming very, very, very soon. And by very, very, very soon, I mean
never
soon. And by soon, I mean I don't really know.
And by soon, we mean when the guy finally gives it to us.
Yeah, well, he ran into a problem with it. That's why there's been a holdup. So that's it. We'll see everyone next week for episode 57.
He's lost count.
Hi, it's Howard in England. I'm just calling to say that the debate that you had, at the beginning I thought Ben and Jamie were right, but I've got to say that Laura and Eric, they covered it. They're really good. Great debate. Well done. They stayed on topic, stayed on point, so I'm agreeing with them now. Good job.
Hi, this is Jillian from New Jersey, and I just wanted to say that people say the people from Jersey talk fast, but Jamie, you beat us all. I love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
Hey, MuggleCast. This is Sonia. I'm 15 from the UK, and I just wanted to say that I really, really love your show. It's like highlight of my week. I listen to it every week, and it's all great. And, yeah, I just wanted to say thanks for being so great and cheering me up when I upset and everything. So, thank you. Bye.
Hi. This is Paul from Damascus. I was just wondering how to get a web link on the MuggleCast dating service, because it's really hard to find, you know, someone that likes Harry Potter around here and just trying to hook up, you know. Well, thanks. Bye.
As an added bonus this week, we have a special song made by David C. of Reading, Pennsylvania. He took clips from last week's episode 56, to show how musical we were. Enjoy.
Bump.
What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah?
I've got a peaceful,
easy feet. What's bugging Micah?
Dumbledore was whomping the goggle.
What's bugging Micah? Dumbledore adores facts.
Yay!
What's bugging Micah? I was downloading the episode. What's bugging Micah? Back to school edition. What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah? What's bugging Micah?
Bump bump bump.
Is he a wallflower?
Is he a wallflower?
Wallflower.
Care and attention to make it.
If you want your pickle hat
to wear
that
it.
Bad, I'm gonna have to pack another suitcase just full of P.O. box crap for you.
Oh, yeah, because a hat must take up so much room, Ben.
No, it takes up a lot more room than you think. When you're going to be gone for over a week,
hey, Ben, will
you
it
need to have plenty of space for your clothes,
okay,
Jamie.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, Ben, you wouldn't do that because you wore the same shirt for the entire 2 weeks.
No, I didn't.
Oh, is that your little joke when I'm not around that you continually
no,
play?
No, I never heard that.
No, it's the first time I've said it since I said it in Vegas, you paranoid.
No, I know.
Ben's like,
dude, you talking about me buying my bag, man? Dude.
No, I know you do. I know how you operate, Jamie. I know how you operate.
Okay, Ben, don't even think about going
you
there.
You made fun of my shorts? You made fun of my shorts?
Let's argue about this after the show.
The shorts that I wore every day. Just because there's a lot of pictures of me with those shorts on doesn't mean I wore them every day.
You did, though.
Sorry,
you did.
Those pictures were every day.
I didn't.
You did wear them
those pictures were not every day, though.
Those red,
let's keep going. Let's keep
red,
going.
Andrew, this is funny stuff. Put this stuff in. People will like it. This is just weird. Dumbledore hexed, but the guy. Oh, that's terrible! I can't do that. I just got that suddenly.
Say it, Andrew. Edit it out. I want to hear it. Say it.
Okay, Dumbledore hexed. I didn't get that first of all.
That is ridiculous.
I didn't get. Oh my god, that's terrible.